I am Brandy Taylor in the Sonic interview suite with Carl and Catherine from New Pornographers. Welcome. Yes.
Thank you.
I hate to say I'm glad, but I am a little bit glad you guys didn't all come because there are so, so many of you. I don't know where we would have put you all.
It's true. You don't need to see all of us. No good can come of that.
So how does that work, especially when you're all so busy with your own projects, when you have so many people to corral, like when you're planning shows and tours like this or even recording an album, is it like the longest email chain ever? Like, oh, sorry, I have a birthday party that weekend. How about the Tuesday after? How does it...
You know, we have a manager now, so we don't have to deal with that. So often when I send out emails to the band, no one even answers me. It's like there's an unspoken thing, like, we don't talk to you anymore. We only talk to Joe, which is our manager's name.
So he does not have an easy job. He earns his paycheck.
He does. He's got a terrible job. Yeah, and he's very good at it. I mean, this is the first album that they've worked with us from the beginning. Like, they started working with us about 6 months after Together came out. So, yeah, he doesn't know how bad it can get. He's about to find out. Don't you think?
It's true, Carl.
Damn straight.
Am I just your hype man?
you're like the Ed McMahon.
Right on.
Hilarious, Carl.
Absolutely.
Hilarious.
You're at the beginning of the album cycle right now for Brill Bruisers. What does that mean?
How do you mean?
Like, what does Brill Bruisers mean?
It just means what it means. It's the name of our record.
Mm-hmm.
That's its meaning. It is the name of our album. Like my name is Carl Newman, and the meaning of that name is me. It is me. Don't you think?
Well, I like to think of it, although this isn't probably how he meant it, but I'm going to interpret it because I like doing that. But I like to think of it as like a gang. Like back in the day when people were getting together, like the Brill Building, you know, people were getting together to write songs, like a gang of people writing cool songs. That's what I like to think of.
That's good. Yeah, that's what it means. I think it does mean something like that, but I just couldn't put it into words. But Catherine did it, so that's good.
That's why we bring her along, right?
Straight up.
Right on.
Tell us about the new record. It's been out a little while now.
About three or four days.
And I was reading a piece in Spin where you talked about some of the songs that inspired it. And some of it was like movie scores and a little bit of you too. Do you find a lot of inspiration from other artists, or does your inspiration kind of just come from...
I feel like, for me at least, I feel like I write a certain kind of song. And I've given up fighting it. Like, I just write what I write. And a lot of the influence just comes from, like little things I notice in other songs. I thought the drum beat in New Year's Day by U2 was a cool drum beat. So I suggested to Kurt, why don't we make that the drum beat? Something like that. And those are the main influences. Or sometimes I'll just hear a song where I really love, like, the guitar sound and go, let's make our guitar sound like that. But there's never an overriding influence where we think, let's sound exactly like Neutral Milk Hotel. It's more like, let's get that accordion sound, you know, that Neutral Milk Hotel got. It's all very, like, minutia.
Some people have said it's a more electronic record. Would you describe it that way?
Yeah, it definitely is. But I find calling your music electronic has a lot of baggage connected to it, because we're not EDM by any means, and we're not like Aphex Twin. We're still very much a rock band that just has added a few very electronic elements, and electronic in a very retro way. Like, it's not like modern electronic, it's like 1981 electronic, which is the kind of electronic I love.
The new album does have super, super cool... It's a cool package altogether. It's got really cool cover art. Does that neon sign actually exist?
No, it doesn't.
That would
it
be
should.
Really cool to have in your basement.
You know, a friend of mine runs a neon sign company in Brooklyn, and I've been wondering, how much would it cost? Like, how much would the friend price be if I said, Matt, will you make me this sign?
Well, especially if you had a huge one, you could use it as your backdrop when you play
it's
shows.
It's so fragile. We had a neon chandelier that the same guy gave us, and you just touch it and it breaks. So it would be heartbreaking to spend $10,000 on a Brill Bruiser's sign just to have me brush past it and destroy it.
And another thing you guys spent some serious time on, I assume, because it's so cool, is the vinyl. Our boss was just in here talking about how awesome the vinyl copy of the record is. It's kind of like white with rainbow splatters. Was that your idea, or did somebody come to you with that? Or
no, it was people. I think it was like our management and people from the label. And, you know, I was consulted with little details. Like, I think initially they wanted it to be clear. Clear vinyl with splatter, and my addition was, how about white vinyl with splatters? And so that's, I think I picked the color scheme. I think I went through like all the Pantone colors and went, because we were trying to pick colors that were in the actual album cover. So if you think it's ugly because the wrong color scheme was picked, I'm fully to blame for that.
I think you did a great job.
Thank you.
You got a little bit of every color. There's something for everybody to love.
Yeah.
Do you think that's important, the physical copy of the album being cool and something that people want to hold on to?
Yeah, for me it is. I've always loved records. You know, and if you've taken any anthropology, you know, I think there's people love objects. You know, like, it's cool that music is also files that you can trade, and, you know, but I think people like to have a thing that they can look at, you know. There's this, it's sort of fetishistic in the best sense of the word, not in any sick way.
I actually read not long ago that something like 60 or 70% of vinyl records that are bought now are never opened or played. Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. I could see people just buying them as like an investment. Yeah, why not? I have a lot of records I haven't opened. I bought a record that it was sealed, and it was a record I wanted. I just couldn't bring myself to open it. It was an old record from the 60s.
Well, that's what happened with our records, is that we got sent a bunch of records, and I haven't had the heart to open our record. Like, all the vinyl is still in its packaging, and I haven't even seen it, because I can't bring myself to open it.
You gotta open one.
I know.
I opened one and kept two sealed. I'm hoping it'll be worth something. I'm hoping it's something I can pass down to my son, and maybe if he's broke in college, he can sell it for $50 on eBay or something. Buy some weed.
Thank you so much.
Those are wonderful things to want for your child in your future. For him to go to college.
I also want him to date a stripper.